The house of the Lord today.
Amen.
I hope that you've come expecting to receive from the Lord. If you didn't, you'll probably get exactly what you expect.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing how God works. I was looking at the songs you selected, and they go right along with my message today. And we thank the Lord for that, because I think it's so vitally important for us to come to the house of the Lord expecting to receive from the Lord. And there's preparation that goes into that. We're going to be talking about some of that. Have you ever walked into the middle of a conversation and all of a sudden it gets real quiet and you get the sense that there's two people that have been arguing? And you say to yourself and to someone else after you leave, you say, wow, the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Ever experienced that? I'm sure perhaps you have. But if we can create such negative atmospheres in life, certainly we should be able to create a positive atmosphere as well. Amen? Amen. And in fact, what could happen if we could create an atmosphere of faith? You see, I believe that we can. And that is what I want to talk to you about this morning, an atmosphere of faith. And so before I get started any further into the message, I'd like you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 2 and begin with verse 1. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now Jesus had just healed a leper, and now it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. And then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. And so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. And they are all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. You may be seated. Church, this morning, I want you to see that what we just read about was creating an atmosphere of faith. These friends, they were so convinced that if their friend could see Jesus, that he would be healed. It's called expectation. A lot of people come to church, and over the years I've noticed they just kind of come in, and the attitude is, well, bless me if you can, preacher, you know. And of course, they have a very difficult time. Church for them is not an enjoyable experience. And I notice there are a lot of people, they come out of habit. It's just, well, it's the thing to do, so we'll go to church today and, you know, check one of the boxes and be content with that. But God wants more from us than that. God wants us to come expecting to experience the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit in the service, and that he will speak to us in some way. some way. And perhaps we'll even be a blessing to someone else when we come. So vitally important, expectation. You see, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is that God responds to our faith. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That means even coming to church. Do you expect to receive from him? The Bible also says in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus was talking. He said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." Wow, that should give all of us a whole lot of hope and confidence that, you know, we serve a God who answers prayer. He wants to reveal himself to not only his people, but to everyone, that he is truly who he says that he is, and that he can do what he says he can do. And we, as Christians, are God's conduit to an unbelieving world, for God to reveal himself to others. He uses us. I know some people go, God can't use me. I really don't have any talents, and I just don't have anything to offer. You know, I'm just a plain old country boy. And, I tell you, God has gifted every one of us. And when we come to know Jesus Christ, he not only gives each one of us one gift, at least one, but also he wants to use us and our testimony as we share with others what Jesus has done for us. If you watch and read in the Word of God, what did the Apostle Paul do? Was that he went about and he shared his own testimony of how he came to know Christ as Savior. You know, you can do that. Anyone can do that. You can simply say, you know what, man, my life was so messed up, and I was going the wrong way, and everything I touched seemed to be falling apart. But one day I met Jesus. I realized my need of Jesus, and I invited him into my life. And from that day forward, my life has been so different. God has made a difference in my life. He's changed my whole perspective on living. He's given me new life. He's given me hope in the midst of all the despair that I was in. What a testimony. That's positive. You know, and the world needs to hear those testimonies. Amen. We should come to church every Sunday in faith, believing that God will be there, that he will touch our lives in some way, and that he will make us a blessing to others. You know, sometimes we come to church and we want God to bless us. But you know what? God wants to use you to bless others. As Christians, we're to build one another up in the most holy faith, is what the Word of God tells us. How do you do that? You encourage one another. You share with one another. And you know, I'll tell you what, there's nothing more encouraging than to share with one another the things that God has done for you the past week. Sometimes, by the way we see people and the way they talk, it's like God doesn't really do anything. They're not very excited about God. So what do? We talk about the Super Bowl instead of God. Amen? We talk about football. I love football. I love the New York Yankees. Oh, I know. See, I'm getting some scowls out here, and I'm getting a response. Yeah. You know, I love to talk about the Yankees, and they didn't make as many deals this offseason than what they should have, in my opinion. But, you know, if they listened to me, they'd win the World Series every year. But what can I say? You know, they don't listen to me. So, at any rate, but what a wonderful thing it is when we as God's people, we just when we get together, we just say, you know what, God is so good. God has blessed me this week. You know, I was going through a tough time this week, and it just seemed like, you know, like the heavens were just brass, and I couldn't get through, and it just seemed like things were just, God wasn't there, and I wondered where he was at. And then all of a sudden, I was driving down the road, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, I sure need a touch from God today. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit breaks through while you're driving. You get, woo, you know, praise the Lord. God likes to do that for us. If we keep asking and praying and believing that he's there and that he wants to help us. And so what I'm saying here this morning is, you know, sometimes when we come to church, in essence, what we're doing has nothing for us. I mean, without faith, everything we do in church is empty. I've been to some churches, and boy, they are as dead could be. Goodness sakes. You walk in there, and it's like you're walking into a funeral parlor, and goodness, it's just like, it's depressing. And you go like, why do we do this? And then what do? They have this liturgy where they just read everything. You know? Read all their prayers. And I know I've heard from some, they say, well, the reason we have these written prayers for everybody to say is so that they feel like they're participating. But the reality is you can say all the prayers in the world, read all of them, but if they don't come from your heart, and in faith, they have no value. They're just empty words. We can sing songs, you know, and we just sing them because, well, that's what we do every Sunday morning. We sing a few songs. And, you know, we have some pretty good words. But, you know, we don't expect God to touch our hearts while we're singing those songs. Those words ought to mean something to us as we sing them. We begin to think about those words and wow, and you realize how awesome God is and what the wonderful plan of salvation he has for us and how he walks with us and he talks with us. Well, you know, you just as well be singing to the wall, you know, if you're just going through the motions. oh, folks. I tell you, God wants us to really come expecting to receive from him. You know, sometimes when we sing, sometimes we wonder if it, I mean, I know some people have more talent than others, and so we kind of listen for those that could carry the tune really well and have a little vibrato in their voice, and boy, they're right on. And sometimes we get more interested in how well others are singing or how well the piano player is playing and the music and all of that, and we forget why we're really there. Wrong reasons, thinking about the wrong things instead of focusing in on the Lord. You know, we can give in the offering to satisfy our own desires to support the local church. But what God wants from us is to give in faith, taking him at his word that when we do give generously from the heart, he will pour out blessings that will overflow in our lives. We don't give to receive, but we do give out of obedience to the Lord. And as we are obedient to the Lord, he then begins to pour out his blessing upon us. I had one guy in our last pastorate, his name was Henry. He was an old farmer. But that guy had such a big heart and was so generous to God and to the church. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I don't know if I can take it anymore. He says, God is so good to me. He said, the more I give to him, the more he gives back to me. He said, and I just keep getting more and more and more. He said, I love to give because God is so good. I remember my father also made the statement, he said, you know, when you're faithful in giving to the Lord, when you come on hard times and you need help, he said, you can go to the Lord in confidence and say, you know, Lord, I've been faithful, and you have promised that if I would seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, that all these things would be added unto me as well, all the basic needs of life. And you know, God will come through, and I could tell you some stories, but I don't have time to tell all of them, but or even one of them right now, if I want to get done on time. I'm watching the clock. All right. But the reality is that, you know, we have a responsibility for creating an atmosphere of faith. We really do. Some people say, oh, no, I've heard a lot of different people say, well, you know, I really don't believe that. Some people think that it's up to God. It's up to God to come and bless us. But while I know that a lot of these people are very sincere, I respectfully submit that biblically they're incorrect. And here are three ways we can create an atmosphere of faith in the church. It starts before we get to church. Like one man said, you wake up saying, good morning, Lord, isn't it a wonderful day? Or are you one of those kind of guys that gets up and say, good Lord, it's morning again. You know, I know everybody's a little different, and some people are night owls, and some people are early risers, and I'm one of those kind of guys. I got used to in the ministry. I figured, from 9 o'clock to midnight in the evenings was my time, because most people that had good etiquette would not call you after 9 p.m. unless there was an emergency. And so I would take from 9 to midnight for myself just to do whatever I wanted to do. I still woke up in the mornings at 6:30, but nonetheless, I wouldn't go to sleep till midnight. And but then I know there's other people that I've run across over the years, and boy, 8 o'clock p.m., they're in bed, and they rise about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not one of those. But you know, it makes a difference, your outlook on life, if you get enough sleep at night. And then, of course, I don't have time to go into all these things as we get older, you know, and sometimes, you know, Eddie, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we go to bed with good intentions of sleeping, and then sometimes we just wake up and can't get back to sleep, and things like that happen to us. But nonetheless, staying up too late on Saturday night, or getting in an argument with your husband, wife, mother, father, or children before church forces us to kind of put on a phony, cheerful face when we get to church. And I can remember there are times where I would have to, I would always pray after I got to church, because sometimes, you know, it'd get a little bit tense getting the kids ready at home and helping my wife and all of that. And boy, sometimes my attitude was a little out of shape, and so I'd have to pray, and I'd say, Lord, now I can't get up there and preach until you touch my heart and change my attitude here. And so, Lord, you need to help me. Forgive me for my wrong attitude, and help me, Lord, as I get up and preach to this congregation. It makes a difference. It really does. You know, rushing in late on Sunday morning, can't find a good parking spot, and your favorite seat's taken, will often give us a bad attitude, you know. But I've learned that if we'll just get a good night's sleep, refuse to let the devil upset us because we've had a bad hair morning, or the children have been naughty or gotten their church clothes dirty, or God forbid that someone took our seat at church, well, actually, we could have a pretty good morning, and our hearts could be prepared for worship. You know, but most importantly, Do you pray? Do you pray during the week and on Sunday morning? You pray and say, Lord, I pray that you meet with us in our worship service. Lord, I pray that you anoint our pastor's heart as he preaches. Lord, I pray you'd anoint our worship team as they lead us in worship. And then, Lord, touch my heart and help me to be receptive to what you have for me in the service today. You know, it makes a difference. It really does. And I want to give you an example. I was on a sabbatical, and it was during the Christmas season. I'd experienced burnout, and so my church gave me a 10-week sabbatical. And I remember I decided to go to church in another town, and went to this church that I thought would probably be okay. It'd be a pretty good church. And so I'd been praying, and I said, Lord, you know, today I just need to hear from you. You know, I need you to speak to my heart. And you know, Lord, the concerns I've been having here of late. And so, Lord, I just pray, touch my heart this morning. And I remember we got into the church service, and the music, the worship time was very uninspiring. In fact, the power went out in the building, and that was an interruption in the service, and so they were working to get the generator going, and so we could have power in the service. And then the senior pastor wasn't there, and they had a guy doing pulpit supply for him, and he, trying to be nice, he was boring. Just so boring. And so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh man, you know, Lord, I mean, there was people, I'm not stretching the truth here at all when I say this. There were people that were nodding off, going to sleep while he was preaching, and all of a sudden he began to read a passage of scripture that just really spoke to me. Oh, I tell you, it was Zechariah when he went into the temple, and an angel of the Lord met with him and said to him, your prayer has been heard. And it was like lightning struck me. I mean, I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit just come and touch my heart. And I began to sob, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. I'm only one in here, and I'm that's crying, and everybody else is falling asleep. And Lord, here I am, you know, so touched by the Spirit of God. You see, when we come prepared, God can use just about anything. It won't make any difference what the preacher preaches, or what songs the worship leader sings, or who got your parking spot, or who's sitting in your seat. You'll experience the presence of God. I just tell you, the Word of God makes it very clear that we can create an atmosphere of faith, and it means getting involved when we go to church. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, okay, let's just look at Scripture first, okay? It says in Psalm 47, verse 1, clap your hands. Chapter 33, verse 3 says, shout for joy. Chapter 96, verse 7 says, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Chapter 13, verse 6 says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You know, we make more noise at a ball game and all these other things than we do when we come to church. And we have the most reason to praise and raise the roof because God is so good than any other person should ever have. The house of God is where we come to worship the Lord and lift up His name and give Him praise and honor and glory. You know, when we're supporting somebody and we love somebody, we want to encourage them, don't we? And we love the Lord and we know that He's good to us, and so we want to thank Him and let Him know that we're grateful for all the wonderful things He's doing in our life and how He's been making provision and how He's been helping us through difficulties, sickness, and all these other things. God is so good and He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Woo. I tell you, and yet in many churches we're afraid to raise our hand, and or somebody might see us, or to say amen, and somebody might look back at us and say, you know, what are you doing? This is one place where we ought to be unafraid to let God know that we love Him, that we appreciate Him, and all that He's doing in our life. And I tell you, you wonder why a lot of unbelievers don't come to church? Why would they? There's nothing to celebrate. The people of God, who should be celebrating, don't celebrate. They don't really give honor and glory to the Lord. I know there's some people who think, well, you know, we need to be reverent and all of that in the presence of the Almighty God. But, oh, I tell you, I don't believe heaven's going to be a dull, quiet place. When we get there, we're going to be praising the Lord and thanking Him for all that He's done and that we made it. Amen. It's going to be, I call it party time in heaven. You know, life is too short, and you know, we need to be willing to say, Lord, I want to be used of the Lord. Maybe that sometimes it means raising my hand. That's, you don't make any noise by raising your hand. You just say kind of in praise to the Lord, or sometimes saying amen. Now, I know it's a lot of churches now, the big churches, they all clap. And then I get to thinking, who are they clapping for? The preacher or God? You know, and so I'm not really in favor of that, but that's their way of doing it. It's okay. I'm not going to judge them. But the point is that we need to give honor and glory to the Lord when we come to worship. It should be celebration time. God helped us through another week. Amen. Amen. And as we get older, we realize that every day is a precious gift, isn't it? When you wake up in the morning, your name's not in the obituary, you know that's been a good night for you. You know? And so, of all people, God's people should be those who are not afraid to give praise to the Lord. I know I've kind of overextended that a little bit. But the point is, God help us. You know, the world's looking on, and they celebrate a lot of things, and for a lot of them, they need a little booze, you know, to make them happy. But as Christians, we have Jesus, so we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That ought to make us happier than anything else on the face of this earth. Amen. Well, okay, I told you I was going to move on. All right. I'm not really trying to condemn anyone for the way they worship. But, you know, the Word of God, when it tells us to do all these things, clap your hands, shout for joy, sing, and all that, you know, we don't clap just for the sake of clapping our hands. And we aren't to shout just to make noise or sing so that people will hear the melodious ambience of our angelic voices. However, what happens when we do all those things, begin to stir our own spirit, and in doing so, we lift the spirit of others and give hope. And what it does is it stirs the spirit of other people as well, and other people then begin to realize it's okay. It's okay to praise God in His house. It's okay. And you say, well, my personality isn't that way. I'm just real quiet. And that's, you know, I remember my mother, when she'd get blessed, she didn't shout and praise the Lord and all that, but she'd stand there, and I remembered you'd see tears start to trickling down her cheeks. My dad was, amen, preach it, brother, you know? And I've seen a lot of other people in different ways where they have, you could see that they were worshiping and giving praise to the Lord. And we should do that as well, because it really does demonstrate our appreciation and love for our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, enthusiasm is like a flu bug. It's highly contagious. It's highly contagious. And I'm not saying we ought to try to work up a bunch of emotion in a church service. I don't believe in that. But I'm going to just tell you this. When the Spirit of God touches your heart, we respond to everybody else and everything else and all kinds of things. Well, when the Spirit of God touches our heart, we ought to respond as well. Amen. Well, did I say I was going to move on? Okay. You remember when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, that triumphal entry? And the disciples began to praise the Lord, and people were throwing their garments and palm leaves on the ground as he was riding by. And of course, all the religious leaders, they began to rebuke Jesus because his disciples were making too much noise. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. I remember I went to church and when I was in another community, and it was Palm Sunday. And I recall at the end of the message, the pastor said, you know, let's just begin to praise the Lord for who he is and what he's done. And it was, boy, there's maybe one or two, maybe three people. This is a congregation of around 250 people. And there's only like just a handful that kind of begin to walk around and say, we give honor and glory to the name of the Lord. But there's one guy sitting in the back, and I guess he was new. Anyway, he stepped out of the pew there, and he'd been walking down, and he says, the Lord is worthy of our praise. The Lord is worthy of our praise. And so at the end of the service, I went up to him and I said, you know, I said, I really appreciate the fact that you are unafraid to give honor and glory to the Lord because he is worthy of our praise. He said he is worthy of our praise. And when he spoke, I began to smell. And he had alcohol on his breath. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, today the rocks cried out. I said, God, help us. When God has to use someone like that, who doesn't even know Jesus, to give honor and glory to the Lord. Boy, that really hit me. I've never forgotten it. And so, sometimes if I say amen or I raise my hand, I don't care if people look at me or not. The Lord is worthy of my praise. And I'm going to give it to him whether you like it or not or anybody else. Because I love Jesus. And he's done so much for me. He's done so much for me. Well, wow, I better get moving along here. This is the last point, believe it or not. Creating an atmosphere of faith means getting involved when we... Oh, I already said that, didn't I? I need to move on. I got going here. Okay, well, I want to just say this, that our love and enthusiasm for Jesus should never take second place to anything, and our support for God's kingdom should not be far behind. Not only do we create an atmosphere of faith, not only do we create an atmosphere of faith happen before church and while we are in church, but it also means taking something with us when we leave the church. When God meets with us in a church service, He blesses us for a reason, and He touches our hearts for a reason, and that is so that we can share with others what God has been doing. I have to be honest with you, I've been in church service where we saw people come to know Christ as Savior. We've seen healings. We've seen the demonic, people that were bound by the demonic and they were delivered and things of that nature. And you know what happens? Far too often, when people leave the church, they stay silent. They don't say a word about what God has been doing in their church and in the lives of people that they've been around. And I tell you, that's sad. You see, God can move in a mighty way in our church service, but we have a responsibility to take something with us to the world around us who needs Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if we begin to share how awesome God is, because it's not about our church, it's about our God that we serve. And when He's done something wonderful, we need to share it with the world and say, you know what? I just got to tell you, old George, you know, this last week, he was going to commit suicide, and he came and he talked to me, and I was able to visit with him and pray with him, and he received Jesus as Savior, and his life has been changed. He was chasing preachers away from his home with a shotgun before, and now suddenly he loves Jesus and he's coming to church, and other people are coming to church because they can't believe what George tells them. He said, I got religion. He tells everybody that in the community. And so people come to church just to see whether or not he really does go to church. I mean, you see, that's what our world needs to hear. That's what our world needs to hear. You know, in Luke 8, Jesus cast demons out of a man. And in verse 38, we read that the man wanted to stay with Jesus. But Jesus said no in verse 39. And he told him to return home and tell what God had done for him. And so the Bible says he told people all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And when we start doing those kinds of things, then we'll begin to see people wanting to know the same Jesus that we know. Amen. I know there's some people, even church people, that believe that God doesn't do miracles anymore. Well, I have to tell you, if Jesus Christ comes into your life, He transforms you, you become a new creation. That in itself is a miracle. It's the greatest miracle of all. And we need to share it with other people. Oh, and I know in small towns, gossip gets around. You know, and so we're afraid that maybe that person might be offended. But if that person is genuinely saved, he doesn't care if other people know that his life has been changed. Amen. Oh, I tell you. When we start sharing what God has been doing in our life, then we can start inviting people, not to our church, but to experience the awesome God that we serve. Amen. And we will make a difference in our community for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I need to be done. Thank you for your patience and listening, but I want to encourage you. You know, I have to be honest with you. You know, there's some churches I go to that I preach in, and boy, you just don't sense the presence of the Lord at all. But I want to tell you, when I come here, it's refreshing because I do sense the presence of the Lord when we worship together. Amen. That's a wonderful gift from the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.